You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Wow. You know what? I was watching a podcast where a guy was constantly snapping his fingers, and he had the most like burly, hyper masculine snap I'd ever heard. And it made me, and I don't feel self-conscious. Like, I could be in a locker room with some really equipped fellas and I wouldn't feel a way about it. But this fucking snap made me so insecure, because that's so fucking weak. All right. And everybody, welcome to Axe to Grind. Yeah. Thank you. Welcome to Axe to Grind. You've been going through that mentorship.
I have been, yes.
The hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob. And I'm Tom from Mentorship.
Wow, you guys are really on that hyper masculinity. You're on the tret? You're on that tret now?
Plus testosterone over here.
They're accusing RFK of being on tret. And hold on. Guys, well, I gotta say
broke
this.
I mean, unfortunately, his brain blood barrier was broken by Wi-Fi. So,
listen, let me just say this. We're going to joke about Tret. Please don't write us about Tret. Okay. Mm-hmm. We don't know shit about Tret. We don't want to know shit about Tret. But every time on a podcast I've talked about steroids in a joking way, my DMs get fucking flooded with people trying to sell me steroids. Please, everybody. We're good. Am I speaking for you guys okay?
I don't need any steroids.
I mean, I'll take some Nugenics. If Frank Thomas wants to slide my DMs, maybe Doug Flutie and tell me how to get Nugenics for free. That's
fine. Okay. All right. That's the exception.
I can't wait for us to have a Nugenics promo code. AxeGrind 42069 for 20% off your first Nugenics order.
Spell that one out. Okay. Let's do some sponsors, because we got a lot to talk about today, no?
You know what's great is that we got sponsors that are our friends. We shout out and love Run for Cover Records.
Yes.
We shout out and love Convulse Records.
Correct.
We shout out and love To Live a Lie.
There is no doubt.
And we shout out and love Most Holy, Most High to Close Casket Activities.
Good looking.
Praise, yeah.
Go support them, buy their stuff, follow their things, do the thing. But we also have friends who aren't sponsors, and sometimes we like to leave a little space for them. This week, we actually get to play a little music, too. So it's like a back-to-back doubleheader over here. Two games at Citi Field, if you will. So let's hit the
diamond. These games aren't losers. I'm a suffering Met fan.
I'm going to play a song. The title of the song is called Actin' Up. It's by a band, Pain of Truth.
Have you heard these guys?
Have you heard this? You heard about this? You heard them? Yeah. The Not Through Blood LP, CD, and cassette, as well as some merch. Pre-orders go up today, June 20th at noon Eastern time. So that's noon Eastern, 11 Central, 10 Mountain, 9 Pacific. Globally, let's think globally. There's other times as well. Set your watches, set your alarms. If you're an early riser, catch it. This one's going to be big. You're going to want to order it. Get in there fast. Get in there hard. Order away. Pain of Truth, New York Hardcore, Actin' Up.
I'm on a mission from God.
Tell him you failed.
We'll be right back.
Tom, let's go to the second half of our doubleheader. We got another act here.
Yes, friends of ours, like you said, we like to make room for some of our friends when we can. I want to debut the single from a Brooklyn, New York hardcore band, Mafa. Mm. The title of their album is called Because We Are. It came out yesterday on Juneteenth, put out by my buddy Hill. An old friend of mine, if you've been to New York shows, you've seen Hill. Wonderful dude. His label is called Fuzz Therapy Records. Mafa just put out their LP through with Hill. The song is called Deficit, and here it is. Check it out.
Thank you.
Hell yeah. Yo, it is awesome when we get a chance to debut new music. Thank you to our friends. Thank you to all our sponsors for clearing a little space there. Thank you to Days. Thank you to Fuzz Therapy.
Fuzz Therapy.
Shout out. Check out Pain of Truth. Check out Maffa. Dudes, how you feeling? How you doing? How we all feeling today?
I got hit by a van and a bus.
Whoa. Whoa.
No, I didn't. I feel like it.
Today
I party.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, okay. Today is a day off for me. We drove only 5 hours, and we are in Roswell, New Mexico, and chilling. I'm gonna walk to the alien
wiener,
the alien. No, apparently that's like 70 miles away.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this place is a fraud.
That's what Roswell was.
No.
Roswell,
check it
out. Roswell is the most fraud thing in the world.
Yeah. So Tom, apparently there's a town called Bob. Help me out. It's not Corinth. It's like it's something with a C.
Something like that. Yeah.
And that's the actual town that where the shit crashed. This is the town that just was like, yo, we can make a buck.
Wow, what a scam! I had no idea.
So I'm gonna walk to the alien wiener schnitzel after we podcast and get the veggie dog.
There is a fun back way to drive to Albuquerque that you go through Roswell. You drive through Roswell and you drive down the main street. It's not a huge town, and it is the most disappointing. Like, what is going on here? I say this as I'm a legit New Mexico fan. Like, throw me in Las Cruces tomorrow. I'm in for it. Mm. Roswell is bogus. Shout out to
like
the
when you drive to when you finally get to like Wall Drug or south of the border in South Carolina, whatever, and like you see signs for like 1,000 miles, and you get there, you're like, this is it.
Yeah.
If you were disappointed by Wall Drug or south of the border, wait till you make it to Roswell.
Got it. Say no more.
Yeah. Well, I am doing well. I did not play any shows, nor play a 100-plus-degree outdoor show this weekend. But you guys were busy bees this whole weekend. Bzzz. Why don't we get a little mini scene report? Tom, start us off with the New York City area weekend report. Beep, 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 beep.
Well, your boy played and went to 3 shows this weekend. 3 days, 3 shows.
Mm. Hell yeah.
Supporting the scene.
Mm. Yeah, no shit.
So Friday night, Indecision, played Irving Plaza, which is a relatively, probably legendary venue in New York City.
Yeah. I'd say that's not a quaint little DIY spot. It's a big space. Yeah.
But yeah. And like so many shows have happened there. Like you'll see flyers from like, oh, Minor Threat and SSD played here. Like, and then, you know, oh, U2 played here and Slayer played here. Like everyone's played there. And we got to play there Friday night with Biohazard and King Nine. Mm. It was fucking awesome. It was like unbelievable. I was super worried that we were going to get like the opening band for Slayer treatment.
Yeah, it's possible.
And I was like, oh, this is going to get rough. And I made a deal with Dan from King Nine. I was like, yo, if anyone like yells and calls me fat, you have to fight them. And he was down. And he was like, yeah, I gotcha. I'm like, good. But you know what? They killed it. We did, you know, like I can't say that we killed it because that's not my style, but like
I heard you guys killed it. Like
kinda. Yeah. People were there for us. I was shocked because it was an expensive ticket and it's like not, you know. But it was awesome. Like Biohazard were super fun and like super cool. Like really they all watched us. We load in and I'm standing there with like Rachel and a friend of ours and like Billy Biohazard comes over and he like introduces himself like super nice, really cordial, and he's like talking about his kid. He's got a kid, he's like 13, and he's like, he asked me like how he came up with the name, and he's like, oh, the true story is that like me, Evan, Bobby, and our old drummer Mia were sitting around a table smoking crack and then we were like, what? And he goes, you know, we had like a bunch of names written down. And then, like, I, you know, Mio hands me the stem and I light up and I take a hit and I go, Biohazard. And he's like, and that's how we named the band. You could probably change that to a cheese pizza and, like, you know, like the kid doesn't need to know, like, the crack part. But they were, like, super, super nice. They were like, we should all do this again. I'm like, name the place and we'll be there. But that's it was cool. Really cool. It was fun. It was like, it was, you know, barrier and stuff is tough, but, like, you know, Christian, our friend Christian, and our friend Race, like two hardcore dudes, and our friend Oscar, like all dudes that, like, you know, all hardcore folks that really can charge of stuff. So it was really fucking, it was cool, super nice. Everyone was really nice. We had a blast. And then Saturday, I went to go, I mean, me and Bob talked about this already before Pat joined, but I went to go see The Flash.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then I went to go to the Incendiary record release show, our buddies. It was Combust, Foreign Hands, Fleshwater, and Incendiary. An obnoxious amount of people at the show, because they redid the venue. So Pat, the venue you played is now bigger in Brooklyn Monarch.
Bigger than it was the other day.
Yes. They knocked down. Remember there was that other backstage area across from the stage now, that giant open room that's gone.
So what is that?
That's general population now. That's part of it.
You probably don't know off the top of your head. What's that make it like a fucking
13?
Whoa.
Like, I ran into Audley, friend of the pod, and he was like, yo, this show sold out. I mean, he wasn't bragging. He was just like, this is ridiculous. It sold out 3 times.
That's wild.
Because it sold out at like that original cap when the stage was on the other end of the building.
Yeah, which is like an
800. Then when they moved that, they upped it again, and then they upped it again. So it's at 1,300. So there are 1,300 fucking people for Combust, Foreign Hands, Incendiary, Fleshwater. Yo, I got to see our benefactor, Dusty. Always a pleasure to see my buddy Dusty.
The best.
It was great. It was incredible. Like, it was an incredible show. And then Sunday, yesterday, I went back to Irving Plaza as a spectator. And I watched the entire show. So it was a matinee. It wasn't really a matinee because it started at like 4:30. But we're
yeah, we don't need to split.
Matinee at Jace.
So it was Incendiary Device. They don't draw as much as Incendiary. They used to be called Antidote, but they don't play Antidote songs.
Whoa, okay.
Weird.
Whatever.
Sub-Zero.
Mm.
Still fun, great. I love that 7-inch and that first LP. Fucking great. Fury 5, it was pretty nuts. Sworn Enemy. And they had our Lorenzo's, like an old friend of mine, come out and play guitar. He hasn't been in the band in like 18 years or something, so he came out.
Wow.
Sheer Terror.
Okay.
Paul Bearer was hilarious. He's on Ozempic, if anybody was wondering.
That's not true, is it?
Interesting.
He said it on stage, and he like lost a little weight. He's like, I'm on Ozempic. He's like, because I'm pre-diabetic. So he's like, I'm fat, but I'm not that fat.
Okay, God bless him.
Yeah, and he so all the bands had 20 minutes. Sheer Terror had 40, which is fair. They're OGs, man.
Yeah,
Biohazard wouldn't be there if it wasn't for Sheer Terror, you know? And they're at like 35 minutes, and Paul – or they're at like 30 minutes. Paul does like – a nice little 10-minute like stand-up Don Rickles thing. and he goes, we got 4 more songs. And I text Chris, they had 4 more songs. They had to stop. They ended them early they ended them on time, but so they only got to play 1 more song. And then Biohazard played. It was awesome. If you like Biohazard, they played the first 3 records. Not all of them, but like all the hits from the first 3 LPs. They seemed to be having a really good time. They were super fucking psyched to be back. It was a good time. You know what I mean? I know Biohazard is not for everybody, but if you do like them, it was actually I enjoyed them because I grew up watching them, and that was part of like the allure. You know, it's like to get in the player from Plaza, and like there were so many kids that I went to high school with that I haven't seen since that were at the show because it was like that was like a thing when we were in high school. Urban Discipline was like, what the fuck?
Right.
It's kind of awesome to be like, oh shit, we played with Biohazard, and like these kids that didn't know any of us went on to be in a band got to fucking open for Biohazard and like not look like a bunch of schmucks. It was kind of cool.
Okay, so here's a question.
Yes.
Do you believe that meaning the three of us,
yes,
our kind of hand wringing about Biohazard is shared by the general population or not? Because I twice on this tour I've had conversations about Biohazard where it was an assumed in the conversation that hardcore kids liked Biohazard, and that is as I guess what is counting as an older fella now. That was not always my experience, right? And
no, I mean, I think, yeah, they definitely, because the people right before us hated them.
Right.
our general age range, I'm older than you guys, obviously, but like, you know, in New York, especially, and in Albany for sure, loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of fell out of favor. And they, mm-hmm. like, you know, then they went to, like, you know, they played like arenas and shit, like, well, like Black Sabbath and, you know, like cool shit, but like they weren't playing remotely
core shows.
Like, I mean, not even close. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Not to say that any, you know, they used to play with fucking like Leeway and Sick of It All. And then they went on to be, you know, like they're on tour with like Korn, which is, I mean, they, you know, they were selling millions of records. Like they were doing shit. But yeah, I think for a long time in our age range, like they, you know, they were not always, they were never considered like, you know, canon. Part of the.
Yeah, no, part of the- so I think it's an interesting, it's a great question, and I co-sign everything Tom said. I believe that people my age, which I'm only a handful of years younger than you, Tom, you know, but enough in hardcore years, you know, that by the time I was getting into stuff, 96, really going to shows, 97, they were considered like, you know, the expiration date had gone. However, geographically, based on where you were, maybe you got in a couple years earlier and you were young. Like in 96, I was turning 15, so I was 14. You know, if you had gotten in stuff at 12, Biohazard was on your list, like 94. You know what I mean? If you're a 12-year-old getting into Biohazard in 94, if you're older, maybe you already were into Biohazard and maybe they're starting to get over. But, you know, there was Cold World opened the door for Biohazard and hardcore to me in the post-2000 generation. And then you started to see that with bands like Bitter End, bands like the Mongoloids, et cetera, who all were like, yeah, Biohazard, cool. Like if you go down to the age range that's just a few years younger, Bitter End, Mongoloids, et cetera, excuse me, the idea is that Biohazard wasn't hardcore per se, but it was adjacent and it came from hardcore, which is all true. You know what I mean? Like it's all true. And then I think it slowly kind of became part of the canon. I think it still is kind of asterisk, you know, like Marauder has come into the hardcore canon and I don't think anyone can deny it, even if you don't care for Marauder. Like Marauder is part of the hardcore canon, full stop.
No doubt. No doubt.
Biohazard, I think, is right there. And there's a lot of people who go, yeah, yo, Urban Discipline, that's part of my hardcore canon. And then results may vary. You know, interest is subjective on the couple albums after. But there's a lot of people who are here for the Biohazard experience. But there was a time. And I wonder, I bet if you were under the age of 30, the idea of Biohazard not being part of the canon is almost weirder than them being part of the canon.
That's what I'm discovering speaking to people on this tour. Can I take us backwards for 1 second? So Dookie is on this tour with us. People that don't know, Dookie
California, is, California Dookie. Yes.
Is a
young California Dookie. Yes,
that's right. Talented photographer from, the Coachella Valley. Tom mentioned when you first enter South Carolina, south of the border, how you pass all those signs and you think, what this has got to be something big, et cetera, et cetera. Dookie's first experience with south of the border was on this tour. So I'm going to put him on mic for a second so he can describe what that was like. Wow. as we passed. I should also point out this is a Mexican-American gentleman, so there, I didn't know if there'd be some baggage because south of the border deals exclusively,
it's overtly racist.
Listen, you could call it, I'll let Dookie decide if it's racist or not. I'll say this, it deals very exclusively in broad stereotypes. So hold on,
plays very free with sombreros.
Yes, it does. But let's get the voice of someone who just experienced south of the border for the first time. 1 second, please.
Dookie, would you mind giving your experience?
Please, in the green room?
Patrick's so fascinated by this.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
All right, so tell us about your experience at south of the border.
I mean, we just drove through it off the freeway, so mm-hmm. I thought the ads were pretty clever. To answer the question, is it racist or not? I mean, I'm conflicted, you know. Half of me says yes. The other half says, you know, do you really think Speedy Gonzalez is racist? So if depending on where you fall in either of those camps, I guess that would be your answer. Personally, was I offended by it? No, I mean, I think that's I think that's the closest South Carolina is going to get to a little bit of authenticity when it comes to Mexican culture, to say the least. So personally, I wasn't offended by it, but I can easily see how somebody would. And is it stereotypical Mexican? Yeah, of course. It just depends where you fall, I guess.
Was it a bit of a bummer to get there, like after seeing those signs for like 1,000 miles, and you get there, like this is it?
Yeah, it was a little anticlimactic because you get there, it's closed, basically. You know, there's potential there for something awesome, but it's just, I guess nobody in South Carolina fucks with Mexican culture like that, I guess.
Okay, so real quick before you go and put Patrick back on, how's the tour been so far? Any highlights? Any good stories you want to share?
I mean, every night is pretty incredible. Last night I was dying of laughter in the van because of this hypothetical scenario that Kinlan was placing himself in, and it just, I don't know, it made me laugh tremendously. But highlights,
that,
I mean, every night.
Was that racist? Was the Kinlan?
No, it wasn't racist. It was it had to do with music and where he lies in music. I'll leave it at that. And if he wants to explain or elaborate, I'll let him do that. But
have you ever heard Patrick's old band, Self Defense Family? They've been broken up for a few years. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Have you heard them though? Probably not, right?
I've listened to a few tracks. I've listened to that one song where it comes in. It's like, you need to, if you're going to listen to this album, I think that's Self Defense, right?
That's end of year. That's like
end of year. Okay, then admittedly, I've never like fully listened to it, but I know it sounds just like Drug Church minus the hard riffs.
Whoa! Yeah, that's exactly right. Good description. Yo, thank you for jumping on with us. Give us Captain Kangaroo, and we hope to hear from you again very soon. Captain.
Yeah, likewise. All right, boys.
Thanks, Doogie.
Hello.
Hello. So he said you did put on a racist voice to tell a story last night in the van. It was hilarious. Is that correct?
You know me. It's nonstop racism in here. No, what he was referring to, I heard him. What he was referring to was Drug Church is not up for a big tour, but there's this little chatter that we're like, oh, are we going to be considered for that fucking tour? And I was thinking, you know, guys, I said this out loud. I said, you know, guys, I don't know. It's like, stadiums, it's like I'd have to take vocal lessons and shit. And Dookie starts like dying. He's dying. He's like, and I was like, what? You know, what's the problem? He laughed for like 5 minutes. And he's like, yo, we're in a shitty van outside of a fucking like a Red Roof Inn where everybody in your band just said they want to kick you out because you just fart and you're disgusting. And you're worried about fucking stadiums. You know, and I was like, yo, that's a good point. Like, it is like some bizarre fantasy bullshit. And we should talk about this. I know we got stuff to talk about today, but we should talk about how many bands in our subculture have gotten way ahead of themselves on shit.
In front of the skis.
Yeah. And how it's great to have big dreams. Big ambitions is even better, but there's a lot of people. I'm not gonna say anybody. I was watching some post-hardcore. You know, I was watching Orange 9mm sets and Quicksand sets from a long time ago, and I was watching, you know, just 1995 sort of sets, and I was looking at these bands just kill it, be awesome, and I was thinking, I wonder how many bands of that era. Whether it, you know, it could be anybody, Into Another, it could be whatever, it doesn't matter, who had a more accessible sound than what they came from in hardcore. I wonder how many of those bands were living, they were huffing straight fucking grandiose dreams You know what I mean? like, oh, the, you know, the Beastie Boys opened for, you know what I mean? That sort of shit. And it got me thinking about, you know, I wonder if I ever fall.
The moment right now?
Well, we could expand on that for sure. But I was thinking, I wonder if I ever fall into that. Because I don't think I ever, like, got crazy ideas in my head. But maybe we all do.
I mean, if you're thinking about the singing lessons for the stadiums, we have some conversations that we might need to do. Like,
listen, it's not my tour to fucking stadium. It's just that there's like, I was thinking about being like the opener for a stadium act and how much goes into that. And like Turnstile right now, they got nothing to worry about. Brendan can actually sing now. You know what I mean? But
oh, yeah.
If you're
oh, yeah.
right, if you're Chainsmokers fan that you're trying to play in front of is not going to fuck with you.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? It's just, it's one of those fucking things where if I'm, there's different expectations. And
you got to hit a note.
You got to hit a note. And my expectations right now, which is that I come within 30 yards of a note and people kind of get the idea.
You're good.
Yo, that's great. I have the best fucking time on stage. Anybody that's seen me in the last couple of years knows that I'm just like having a ball. But that shit where you got to do it right, I don't know.
I don't think you give yourself enough credit, if I may be so bold. I think you're actually closer than you give yourself the credit. As someone you know who sits in the audience and watches you, like, I mean, are you Pavarotti? No. But like, no. You get pretty close.
Okay. All right.
Like you carry the melody. I've seen some bands that are even bigger than you guys somehow that can't even like, it sounds like a dying cat.
Patrick, yeah, what's the rule? What is the rule from recording to live? What's the percentage you have to be?
I mean, honestly, remember? if you're 60%, I'd say you're killing it.
If that's 60%, you're okay. If you think you can be 70% on your best day, you're fine. That's the rule. 70% of the studio, you're fine. You do that, you're beating most live rock bands, period, full stop.
Can you get auto-tune live? Yeah, right?
Guys run shit through like little boards now.
I mean, you know, when the Chainsmokers or, you know, or Zed or whoever calls you, the guys.
303, yeah. When 303 hits me, I'll bear this all in mind.
This is why you know Pat's in his 40s, because he thought 303 still plays stadiums.
Yeah.
Or like those dudes are not doing an amphitheater without 17 other bands with like funny names.
You know what? Fair. I listen, when people ask me like, do you not like any pop music? And I go, no, I like that. Found myself a cheerleader, and they're like, yo, that was a minor hit from a decade ago. I go, oh shit. All right, listen. I used to make fun of Will Killingsworth. For people who don't know the name, you should. He mixes and he records, mixes
Dead
or masters
Air Studios.
Yes, a lot of the material that you listen to, I guarantee it. But he's also a very accomplished musician in his own right. So Self Defense has been recording with him really since we were both very young men. And I love Will Killingsworth. And I have always been irritated that he doesn't know what's going on in the world at all. If you talk to him about anything present, if it's not subculture, he's not really interested. Like if you were like, yeah, I want this. If you jokingly talk about Kesha, he'll be like, I couldn't tell you what that is. And I'll be like Will.
Breakfast cereal? Yeah.
I'll be like, Will, come the fuck on. You live on planet Earth, dog.
He's slow to hear, late to folk, to notice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I used to think, God damn, Will, you're lying. Now I get it. You know what I mean? I'm right there. I know more about Russian hardcore releases right now than I do about pop music. So I'm right there.
Mm. So you played a show in 115 degree weather like yesterday.
I did. Yeah. My brain's still fried. Yeah.
So this was Stubbs?
This was at a
Mohawk Outdoor, right?
Mohawk. Yep. Oh. And very, very, very hot. Probably not the most uncomfortable set of the tour. That might go to South Carolina or possibly Tampa, but it was not easy. Long recovery time on your post show. Can I move? Sort of shit.
Why would they do that outside?
You know what? I don't know. It was part of a festival. Okay. Oblivion Access.
Oh, and yeah.
It was a really good time, I should point out. People put in – I got – look, firstly, let me say, South Carolina, Tampa, Houston was a hot one. But this last one
– a hot one.
These were really hot shows where people put in work to compensate for what was both – all the bands really suffering up there. So shout out to anybody that came out to those shows and made up what I call the other 40% of what I'm not capable of in any, you know what I mean? So thank you. But it was really a fun time overall. Shows have been fun. I don't know if the rest of these shits is sold out or not, but if you can get into these, get in, it's genuinely impressive. I mean, I know I keep sucking on the drain, but look, the tour is almost over. I got no reason. I don't think we're getting kicked off. If they were just good,
you want to be on the next one.
I mean, yeah, that's a good point. But honestly, if they were just good, I would say it. But they're great. They're truly like they've just got it dialed into a thing that is just perfect for this exact moment, and people are responding in kind. It's just awesome.
I mean, you guys are coming in hot for the end. It's June 22nd, Santa Ana at the Observatory. June 23rd, Los Angeles at the Belasco.
Yep.
Mm.
And then June 24th at the Catalyst in Santa Cruz, which is already sold out. Oh, and then they put out something today. I don't know if you saw this, PK.
Mm-hmm.
It says, leave your cameras at home. Come out. Have fun. Be present.
Okay. You want to talk about it? You want to get a scandal? All right. So Drain is not about the bullshit, right? And that is to say that they are, even this young into their music careers, they see the pitfalls, right? They see where you can go wrong getting caught up in some bullshit, being the guy that maybe I've been in the past, right? Like, they don't got the time for it. They just want to play some fucking good hardcore music, right? So they're not, Sammy asked me, he said, hey, do you think this is a little too extra? You know what I mean? Like, do you think this is like people are going to read this the wrong way or take it in the wrong spirit? You know, there's like the shit at Tied Down and like, are people going to see this and think that we're taking a shot at anyone specifically or any type or just shitting on photographers in general? And I told him, listen, it's your goddamn show. It doesn't, I mean, maybe somebody could feel that way. I don't believe they will or they do now that it's out. But
let me ask you something.
It's their show. Go on.
It is their show. Let me ask you the question, though. And not to put any, like, I don't want to, like, cause any trouble. Will it be enforced?
No, they're not cops.
It's not going to be like no flash photography at the front door kind of
thing. No. It's not. It's not like,
come on, play along.
It's literally like, hey, let's make it an event where it doesn't have to, like, these are going to be big shows in a band's home state in exactly their moment that they're cresting into something pretty remarkable. This is not what they said. This is what I'm saying. And let's all sear it into our memories. You know what I mean? Like, and honestly, I think it's kind of like a really G move to say, we the coolest event that you're going to witness this year, we're not worried about having it documented.
Right. We don't care about posterity. We just want
I think that's fucking, that's the part of it that appealed to me. Was normally any other band would say, yo, I'm flying motherfuckers in to take photos because this is going to be the most insane thing anybody's ever seen.
Right. Nine camera shoot.
Yep. And they said, you know what? Right now, they're not disrespectful. They're not like, remember when Ian was in his anti-photographer zone and he was playful with it, but he was,
he meant it.
he's playfully meant it. These guys are more on just some like, hey, wouldn't it be lit if we all fucking moshed? You know? And I mean, look, I'm getting to the point. I can't say this with absolute fucking enforcement because, you know, we might have somebody with a disability or some shit on stage.
Right.
But I want to get to the point where if you're on stage, it's because you're diving. So if you're in that line of fucking dudes behind me, like waiting side stage, I'm waiting for you to jump. You know what I mean? That type of shit. And I'm also getting to the point, again, if you got a disability or some shit, this shit may not apply to you. But I'm also getting to the point where if somebody asks me for guest lists, I'm going to say, yeah, you're the first person to jump. You know what I mean? That's it. Like you're only getting guest lists.
You wouldn't be the first dude or first band to require like mosh dive activity for that spot.
Got to do
that,
it.
That was a known requirement. Yeah, come on.
You're gonna ruin a lot of people's lives if you enforce that with me.
You know what, Tom? I'm gonna say this: you wouldn't be the biggest fellow to jump on this tour. This tour has had some, and here's my new perspective. I said this at the last show. It's my new viewpoint on stage dives. If somebody's, you got no excuse not to catch somebody, because if somebody's big, that gives a lot of surface area to work with. And if somebody's small, they don't weigh shit, so you can't. It's not like it's a real struggle. So there's no excuse. You got to. But here's a controversial take. I also think if you fall to the ground, that's somewhat on you too. You know what I mean? Because you got to get in the habit of grabbing motherfuckers' shoulders. This is not. You know, there's a way to do this. This isn't rocket science. So. I don't know.
Explained stage diving. I didn't expect this episode to go that way.
Well, listen, tell me I'm wrong. You've done quite a few stage dives in your life. You know that there's a place that you got to grab to ensure that your head is not going down. That's all.
100%.
And I feel like sometimes this is lost. So anyway,
you got to think light. You got to think thin.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's I feel like there's a way you can like make yourself feel like less.
Leather, stiff as a board.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like you can be a fucking brick if you want to, or you can like, you know, be a little lighter.
That's true.
And I'm not shaming anybody, but like, I feel like I've seen people that are like, you know, brick shit houses that weigh 180 pounds. I'm like, you can ruin someone's day. Or if you do it, you know, like,
yes,
if you choose to be mindful of it, you can absolutely correct. Do it and not hurt anybody.
That's a correct. Fact.
I'm not a small person. And last time I stage drove, I didn't hurt anybody. I was easily a 240 right then. So really quick, let's talk on this. Current bands over their skis. Are we shaming ambition?
No.
Are we shaming bands who have just gotten exponentially bigger through hard work and what they've been doing for the past couple of years?
Absolutely. Definitely not.
So what are we talking about here? Let's clarify.
So there is, there's scope creep, right? I think that's what it's called in tech, scope creep, which is where you had a mandate and suddenly that mandate expands and encompasses shit that it didn't originally, right? And that can happen with bands where you get it in your head, wouldn't it be awesome to play our friend's record release? It would be great to open that. Wouldn't that be great? And then you do that. And it's, wouldn't it be great to play out of town? Okay. That was great. Wouldn't it be great to do a tour? Yep. Wouldn't it be great to open a tour for somebody that you really respect? Holy shit, we did it. Wouldn't it be great to headline our own tour? Whoa! And so that's all natural. And then there is that space that you enter where you're contending with the ceiling of your genre. And
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Some grace and self-awareness is always appreciated. Now, that does not mean that you got to accept the ceilings of your genre. It just means that if you act unaware of them or think that the laws of nature don't apply to you.
Pat, take your meds.
You look goofy, right? So I think to me, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. I think there are a lot of bands who are leveling up. We're seeing them gain traction, who are not doing the goofy things. The goofy things suck, kind of. Honestly, it makes it tough to look at because, man, I don't know. I want to celebrate hardcore bands or adjacent bands doing well. I want to support those things, even when I come from this like dyed in the wool, like hardcore for the hardcore, you know, keep this music in the streets kind of energy. It's 2023. I'm not mad at bands who are able to tour full time. I'm especially not mad at people creating things in this world who are supporting themselves off that thing. That's awesome. Like I believe in that more than most things in this world. I think that's amazing. That said, because of the growth and kind of like accessibility and time and distance from certain tropes, and honestly, time and distance from DIY ethics of hardcore of yore, certain things are getting thrown in the blender that feel a little goofy. So yeah, I don't know. It's tough because I am not trying to single anyone out. I don't even have specific things in mind, but there's certain things that get sent to me. I'm like, ah, like in the modern parlance, it gives the ick, and I don't want to feel the ick when I see these bands, especially some that I think are at least halfway decent doing the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to me it's tough because one man's ick is another. Like, remember that kid that was. That wrote us that was mad that said I never played a basement show or whatever the fuck that kid was on about.
Like, sure. <Yeah.
laughs> Like, yo, that kid thinks it's mad icky that I don't know, whatever. I played a place with lights the other day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yo, mad icky that it's got a PA.
That's true. No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. No, that's the other side. I don't want to feel that on certain things.
Right. And look, we all got to be honest. We're all somebody's version of cringe, and we got to live with that. It's fine. Other people's opinions don't matter. And straight up, like, you know, a mutual friend of ours books kind of like what I would consider corny ass bands, right? And through him, I've met some of these corny ass bands, not nice kids usually, but they don't even, there's no stopgaps on their behavior. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, sign stuff. I'll sign a baby. I'll sign a titty. You know what I mean? It's like there's kind of no, look.
There's no punk rock guilt.
Yes, right. And some of that is self-hate. Some punk rock guilt is just straight up self-sabotage and self-hate. And some of it is...
It's self-correction.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And honestly, person to person, there's going to be a sliding scale on either side. Like, look, I told my bandmates, this is no disrespect to Turnstile. This is no disrespect to, I think, Military Gun. And I don't know if anybody else from our scene, but probably. my bandmates are going to straight up break up when I don't take a Taco Bell offer. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be like, oh yeah, we're done. Because I'm sure that there was fucking money there. You know what I mean? But to me, the second I see somebody using cheese to my music, you better convince me that, hey, Patrick, we want to do this. How can we do it? I guess we're going to give the money to charity or something. Like, but straight up, like, there's just different things for everybody. You know?
Vegan Crunchwrap, that's yours. That should be you.
I mean, listen.
Like, vegan cheese doesn't work.
but here's my thing. It's different for everybody. Drug Church recorded, and, you know, again, I say this without any kind of fucking, I hope everybody understands where I'm coming from on this shit. I don't get into the is Drug Church a hardcore band or not conversations. To the people in this fucking podcast, the answer is probably a no. And I'm very at peace with that. And to the people that tell me, hey, you're the only hardcore band I'm into right now, I don't correct them. I go, yeah, that's cool, man. Because frankly, it could very well fucking get you into something else, right? So here's the point is we recorded that Boston's cover, which already could be a bridge too far for someone, right? Although I would argue
that it's probably PBR or something.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. And it's like, yo.
I wonder how many kids had their first beer because of that song you sang, Patrick.
I mean, it breaks.
Like, I think 13-year-olds just like in a soft, like a fragile space, and they heard that cover, like Past Blue Ribbon. That sounds good. All right.
Well, listen, that's one
there's
that
a,
I
there's
have.
There's a Woods in Bethlehem. It's got your name on it. It's filled with PBR cans.
Impression I get.
Listen.
Good night, everyone.
Here's the thing. There's some matter to, like, can I rationalize that by saying straight is a very personal decision for me, whereas veganism feels like it should be an axiomatic fucking just like given on the part of any thinking person? Of course, I can rationalize all that bullshit. But here's the fact is like one was more comfortable for me than the other. And that's just what it is. And some people, not everybody, I didn't get a Taco Bell offer, by the way. This is a fucking pie in the sky bullshit. It's hypothetical. But the point is I'm everybody has their thing. And I try to respect everybody's thing, and I try to respect people whose things go well beyond my thing. And I also try very hard to respect the people who think I've already transgressed against their thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're mad at me for doing what I've done, that's fine, brother. I don't agree with everything that everybody else has done either. It's fine. So, but everybody's got a thing. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, yes, but here's my question is, are there any universal things in hardcore that it's like, here's the bridge too far in 2023? Because I feel as though you rewind the clock 10 years, 20 years, whatever you want to do, and there might have been. There might have been some like, man, I don't know. Even the stickiest fingered band might not take that Marlboro ad. You know, even the most, you know, carcinogenic 5 out of 5 members smoke Reds band might not take that Marlboro money.
I got two.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm wondering, would any hardcore band ever let it be like the Few, the Proud, the Marines?
So, Tom, I was just going to say.
Or an anti-abortion ad.
Yeah, anti-abortion is going to be tough.
Christian band. Like, I don't know if like maybe like Four Today or some bullshit would
do that. Crisis just slowly slinks back into the bush on that one.
Listen, you nailed it. I was going to say anything that skews the perception, anything of which the perception is right leaning is verboten in hardcore. Now let's talk about something real briefly that we could expand on some other time. There's a great many people in hardcore who have personal views that I would consider culturally conservative, at least compared to me, right? And,
absolutely.
And it's a quiet as it's kept kind of thing. Or if somebody is loud and proud about that shit, it is they don't build it into their band at all. And people are welcome.
And when they do.
And when they do, it doesn't go that well. But the people allow a certain level of cognitive dissonance, right, on these things, and which I personally think is healthy because you can acknowledge that.
Absolutely.
Hey, I love this person's contribution to the art that I love. However, I never want to be at Thanksgiving with this person. Right.
That's right. And it's necessary in a lot of art forms, especially hardcore, for sure.
And this is all to say that I think that Tom is right. There are certain ideas that are unabashedly either conservative or right-leaning that are just not going to pass muster in hardcore. Now, there's things that are edge cases, like gun ownership. And I think that that's an interesting one because gun ownership is currently considered the province of the right.
But it's shifting so much. It's so fascinating over the past, I guess, 5 years, how far it shifted.
I mean, we've talked before the pandemic, the majority of first-time gun owners do not consider themselves remotely conservative.
That's right.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on. And but this is all to say that I think Tom's right. I think that that's the last that's the hard blood-brain barrier for hardcore on what's cool or not. Because look, Drain is getting some assistance from Monster Energy on this.
Right.
This tour, right? And
very publicly so.
Yeah, and they are not, you know, look, like brands like that have made headway with things that we would consider hardcore adjacent, right? So like metalcore, for example. But hardcore, I don't know, but I nothing off the top of my head, right? And I haven't heard boo about it, you know?
Well, I mean, people, I think because people drink Monster.
That's true.
I think it's almost like inherent in Monster, there's like an unspoken like joke about like Monster is like funny.
Yes.
It's not like they're not doing these like behind the scenes, like Sammy being like, I can't face a day without my Monster
energy. No, you know, no.
It's like, you know, they're posting videos of their friends like wearing every piece of Monster merchandise that they have in the van.
Yes.
So it's like it's still promoting Monster, but like Monster is still getting what they're looking for, but it's not like, here's a sit down with Sammy, like, and him being like, I like the purple stuff, but I also like the red. Like, it's not like, you know, they're not taking it too seriously. And it's the same thing with like, even like the PBR stuff. I always thought it was weird, like bands with straight edge people like promoting beer.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's crossed my mind.
I mean, that's happened. I mean, fucking Earth Crisis probably played. What'd you say?
It crossed my mind when we took the PBR fucking budget to record a song.
I mean, Earth Crisis probably played like the fucking Budweiser stage on Ozfest. Like, you know, who we say, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean, or whatever. But it's just like, it always.
Tom. At that point, Jägermeister was probably the fucking sponsor,
right? Which has deer blood and liquor.
Is that true? Jesus,
Jägermeister has deer blood in it.
That can't be.
Jägermeister's fall tour is looking pretty rough, huh? Drug Church.
Listen, I'm not even going to look that up because I like the idea that's so insane that I'm just going to let that ride.
Look, I'm fully vegan, but I just thought it was too funny to pass it up.
Pat, hold your ears for a second.
Sure.
I would like to take back that Jägermeister does not contain deer or elk blood. It's a rumor that was circulated on the internet.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad we caught that.
Well, because it's got this the label has a fucking deer on it. Yes. And I was like, yo, it's got deer blood in it. I remember that as a kid. I'm being like, that's fucking gross. Ian was right the whole time.
Listen. Everybody's got their limit. If Monster is the limit for somebody, that's cool. You know what I mean? Hate all the bands on this fucking tour. I won't lose a fucking ounce of sleep about it. But
have you worn a sweatband?
No, but that's mostly because I can't imagine wearing a sweatband.
Have you worn any of the merch? Have you like you dried off with a Monster towel? Have you had a drink of it? Or
oh, this is fascinating.
If you partake,
I've used the magnitude dudes I've seen in like full fucking
monster regalia.
Listen, the magnitude fellas have a good sense of humor about it. They were wearing like three sweatbands,
like full regalia. It was amazing.
Yes, I use the towel. I use the hand towel to wipe my face.
Like on stage, like you're like a comedian.
I mean, listen, as you get older, the idea that you're just going to let your
sweat roll down your face.
Ugh, it's disgusting. I mean, where do you want to go with venues? We had a venue beef the other day.
I saw this. Go ahead. Give us. All right. So we've pivoted. There's no cringe things about bands, but don't do cringe things, bands. Venues. What's the venue beef?
Everybody in the sound of my voice.
Tear this place down.
Merch cuts. Merch cuts are thievery. We've been through this. I don't get very emotional on the topic. It's just the way of the world. I don't lose my temper about it, etc. However, as we've discussed on this podcast, the game is that you ask me for money you don't deserve, and I give you a fraction of that money, or I dodge you entirely. And if you don't catch me on my way out the door,
I win.
Get the Pink Panther wins again. And it just is what it is. We had a venue chase us for money.
Multiple, like down the street?
No, multiple emails, the whole shit, going through the booking agents, all that shit. And after ignoring, eventually one of my bandmates sent them $50 and said, really glad you managed to stay in business without this. And now that's petty, right? That's some reality program pettiness, but it's how we all feel in our hearts. And when we showed up, there was at that venue, which is a nice venue, by the way, there was a misunderstanding, you could say, about what the expectations were for us. We felt like we were being disrespected. That might've been a misunderstanding too. In the end, it was all good. But there was that moment where, hey, I think I have to go talk to these guys. Does anybody want to come with me? And 3 out of 5 go, if I go, we're definitely not playing. You know what I mean? So if somebody looks me in the eye and says, yeah, it was wrong that you dipped out on a merch cut, I'm going to say, I'm going to audit your fucking bar receipts and we're going to talk about what's wrong. You know what I mean? I'm going to refuse to play your venue ever again in my life, which I won't lose an ounce of sleep about. And I'm also going to make it a point to tell everybody what fucking miserable cocksuckers you are. Now, none of that happened. It didn't need to happen. It was all, it was all resolved. It was all good. And seemingly if there's no bad blood, there's no bad blood on our end either. But don't ever in your life as a venue, when I know venue owners and they will say in a private moment that they know it is a fucking scam. They know it, but it's part of the game at this point and they're happy for the few hundred extra bucks that they get. And they know it's a fucking hustle. And they're just waiting for the revolt to go the other way. And they're going to ride it out and take their few hundred a night, knowing that bands are lying to them. It's fine. It's part of the fucking game. But don't ever get indignant about it because you're stealing. You can't be a thief. You can't be an indignant thief. It don't work.
Like, couldn't it be a more fun game? Like,
you got to break out.
I'm going to do a shell game here and I'm going to put 3 numbers. Either you guys have to count all your merch, or here's the 3 numbers. You get to pick which one you're going to pay. Like, how fucking great would that be?
I mean,
even if you got the cash box, like,
oh,
you don't know who has it, and like, someone's just got to get out the door with it. And once you hit, once you smell fresh air, you're breathing in fresh air.
Yeah,
they lose.
Yeah, that's.
Currently we're playing solid with like Metal Gear Solid over here.
Snake, get that snake out.
We're fucking so. But here's the thing, everybody.
We pay our fucking portion of the merch cut. Might be a lie, just FYI, but they're all lying to you, so don't fucking come after me. And you're going to get it. If you're on our dicks about it, you're going to get it. But don't ever act like you deserve it. You know, like, don't ever act like you earned that money. You didn't. Because here's the current way that you view it. You see me as a vendor that you're allowing to sell my wares in your establishment. Therefore, you get to tax me something for that. You get to hit me with a fee. Now, here's the counter argument that to turn the lights on in a 1,000-cap fucking room means that I have to fill it. And if I don't fill it, you don't fucking sell anything. And that you're only in business. And listen, I'm not Mr. fucking workers of the world, communist ass guy, but fucking I am the means of production. Yeah. Your shit don't fucking run without me. So just, you're going to fucking be your little thieving asses. Just do it with some fucking respect. That's all I ask.
June 2023, be respectful, thieving asses. That's all we ask.
That's all I ask. I'm not going to war. If it's too much, I just won't sell shit. That's fine. It is what it is. But
can we do like a fade out as you continue to rant? That'd be good.
Yeah. Listen, I don't normally get mad about this.
And I'm not going to take it anymore.
I'm usually the guy that's completely indifferent. I don't even know what our merch looks like. It just got me mad that anybody would get indignant when they got their hand in my pocket.
We